welcome. This is God Is In This, the podcast ministry of Bethany First Church, United Church of Christ in Bethany, Connecticut. For more than 270 years, our congregation has gathered in covenant to worship, grow, and serve, grounded in faith and open to the Spirit's movement in our time. As an open and affirming church, we believe every person is created in the image of God and fully welcomed here. Across every race, gender identity, sexual orientation, age, ability, and background. Each episode features a Sunday sermon from our pastor, the Reverend Jonathan Paradis, or from a guest preacher. A message rooted in Scripture, shaped by justice, and alive to the questions of today. Whether you're walking the dog, commuting to work, folding laundry, or simply pausing for a breath, we're grateful you've chosen to spend this time with us. Here at Bethany First Church, we believe God shows up, not only in the sanctuary, but in the struggle, in the doubt, in the joy, and in the everyday. So wherever you are, and however you're listening, welcome. This is God Is In This.
God of covenant and command, you spoke from the mountain, and you still speak to us now. Open our hearts to hear your word. Help us to receive your commands, not as burdens, but as an invitation to love you more deeply. Let your Spirit guide our understanding today. Amen. Today we turn to Deuteronomy chapter 6, a sacred chapter where covenant and command come together. These ancient words were spoken to a people living with an unfulfilled promise, a constant hope given to their ancestors, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. They stand at the edge of the land God has called them to dwell within. But more than entering the land, more than conquering and colonizing a land, they are being called to enter a way of life. God is calling them to a covenant grounded in love, an allegiance to the God who had delivered them, in deep contrast to those people who have called Canaan their home for generations, even before Abraham was called. This is part two of our series, God Is In This. For the next 6 weeks, we'll look at how God interacts with the people through the law of the Old Testament and the problems we must respond to in our current culture. When we want to adhere to these laws that were given to the Hebrew people in the desert as they're starting to forge their culture, religious practices, and identity while navigating a complex cultural, economic, and political society that was already established in Canaan. Today, we consider what it means that God is in the covenant, what it looks like when God invites not just to follow the rules, but to enter a holy and set-apart relationship. What does it mean to build a community shaped by divine love and holy memory, rather than human power or national ambition? Listen again to the heart of this chapter. Hear, O Israel, the Lord is our God, the Lord alone. You shall love the Lord with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. This is not a call to ritual compliance. It's a call to the deep, embodied, generational love that takes root in memory. Love that shapes identity, love that resists assimilation into the violence and idolatries of the surrounding empires. This is a covenant that is rooted in deliverance, and in Deuteronomy chapter 6, it is clear. The covenant begins with God's action. God delivers, and then God commands. This order matters. When your children ask, "What is the meaning of these laws?" you shall say, "We were slaves of Pharaoh in Egypt, But the Lord brought us out of Egypt with a mighty hand to bring us in and to give us the land he promised to our ancestors. As I shared with you last week, the people are not told, obey in order to be loved, or follow because your life will be easier, or obey because of the blessings you will receive. They are told, obey because you have been rescued. The covenant is a response to grace. God's commands are not arbitrary restrictions, but the shape of a new life outside of Pharaoh's economy, for people that are no longer slaves, but free, and to live their lives in reflection of this grace, a life that resists oppression, idolatry, and domination. The covenant is not about privilege, it is about purpose, to live in a different way, in contrast to Egypt and to Canaan's exploitation and idols. It is a life to trust in the God who hears the cries of the oppressed and who delivers mercy and grace. This covenant is a call to distinction, not domination. Deuteronomy chapter 6 calls the people to remember and teach, not just rituals and ceremonies, but a whole way of life centered on God. These words that I command you today shall be on your heart. Recite them to their children. Bind them, write them. The law was not to be stored in temples or hidden in scrolls. It was to be lived, taught to children, spoken in the home, carried in the body. The covenant wasn't just for the elite or the priest. It was for everyone. But this covenant was meant to shape them as a people set apart, not superior, not exclusive, but distinct and holy, set apart by justice, mercy, and faithfulness to God, not by military strength or national pride. This is where Israel's story begins to unravel. We'll cover some of these stories later on, but over time, they long not to be distinct, but to be like the nations around them. They asked for kings, they made military alliances, they bowed to foreign gods, not only the statues, but the gods of wealth, control, and empire. They abandoned the covenant, not by breaking a few rules, but by forgetting who they were. They forgot that they were slaves. They forgot that their identity was rooted in God's mercy and God's deliverance, not their own might. This covenant was not a mandate for violence. And it is true that the Hebrew scriptures, including Deuteronomy, contain troubling text about warfare and conquest. But even here, we must read with discernment. Deuteronomy 6 contains no command to destroy or subjugate people living in peace among them. Rather, the warnings are spiritual. Do not make covenants with oppressive nations or adopt their gods. The issue is not ethnicity or borders. It's about proximity to idolatry. When the Lord brings you into the land, do not forget the Lord who brought you out of Egypt. Do not follow other gods, the gods of the people around you. The danger wasn't in the presence of neighbors. The danger was forgetting who God is and losing the heart of the covenant in pursuit of political power. The covenant was never about violence for cruelty's sake. The covenant was not about securing land. The covenant was not about a political state. It was a call to faithfulness, to resist alliances that would corrupt them, and to trust that God's provisions would be enough. The land was a gift, not a possession. The law was a light, not a sword. At the same time, this covenant is for the future. Perhaps the most profound part of Deuteronomy 6 is its generational vision. It's not just about individual morality, but it's about shaping a culture of remembrance and justice. When your son asks you, "What is the meaning of these commands?" tell him, "We were slaves, but the Lord brought us out." This is not a history lesson. It's a liturgy of liberation. The covenant is passed down not through force, but through storytelling. Not through conquest, but through compassion. The next generation is to be formed not by fear, but by the memory of deliverance. We were slaves, and God brought us out. Imagine if all our current political decisions were made this way. That memory is meant to be the foundation of justice, humility, and mercy. In faithful memory of the struggles and the hardships of all our immigrant ancestors, there's a promise in this covenant if we live it out. If we are careful to obey, that will be our righteousness. Not perfection, not moral superiority, but right relationship with God, with neighbor, and with the land. I close with this. In Deuteronomy 6, it invites us into a sacred way of life, one that remembers, loves, and resists. The covenant calls us to center God, not in theory, but in every moment of life, in our families, in our ethics, in our worship, in our politics. God is not in the system of empire and oppression. God is in the covenant, the loving, the liberating bond that shapes a people for justice and peace. So today, let us remember, let us teach our children, let us walk in the way of love, because God is in this, not just in the law, not just in the covenant, not only in the land, but in the call that belongs to us all, as people created in God's image. May it be so. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this week's sermon from Bethany First Church. If you're nearby, we'd love to welcome you in person. Worship is every Sunday at 9:30 a.m. right here at 511 Amity Road in Bethany, Connecticut. To learn more about our ministries, upcoming events, or ways to support our mission, visit bethanyfirstchurch.org or follow us on social media at Bethany First Church. We're so glad you joined us, and we hope something in this message stays with you. Until next time, may you walk with courage, live with compassion, and always remember, God is in this.